another episode.
Hey.
I'll smell you later.
And not that it matters or you care, but we're recording in person. We've been doing remote a lot this year because we've been, you know, recording the weeks. We're busy girls. One of us had
one of us had a virus.
You know.
Wasn't me.
But we're back together. Fully on a Saturday. Vaxxed. I am completely jacked on caffeine right now.
That's a big ass iced coffee you got.
I can like, oh no, this is a smoothie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, I haven't eaten anything today and I've had 4 espressos. I can like see through your wall right now. But it's a beautiful day in New York City and we're recording for you.
I am significantly underslept because...
Oh my God.
I don't know what it is, but the universe is conspiring against me to never sleep with just noise everywhere all the time. But only in the times that I want to sleep.
No, literally same. I feel like we talked about it before we started recording and we had the exact same week-long experiences of loud ass shit happening at 1 a.m. and not being able to sleep.
Yep. And not even that. It's like at 1 a.m. and also at like 8 a.m. It's like double-ended.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm already like in a tailspin this week for absolutely no reason. So add to that a complete lack of sleep and I've just been a heinous psychotic bitch to everyone I've come in contact with.
Oh, so. Yeah. I'm a nightmare when I'm sleep deprived.
It's going to be a great episode. Now, I'm so happy. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to be here. So I know what you're all thinking. It's the beginning of... What month is it? May. Sorry. It's the beginning of May. And this should be our Mother's Day episode. But it's not.
Wait. Are we doing a Mother's Day episode?
No, we never talked about it. I just got to thinking.
Okay.
But the thing about it is...
What does your mom smell like?
Well, it's like this entire fucking podcast is about my mom. You know what I mean? It's like all I talk about is my mom and Cloud. So it's like, fair. I feel like we've checked that off the list.
Yeah. Cloudcast.
But like, shout out to all the moms or mom adjacent people, mother figures, as I would say.
I'm a Cancer, so I guess that makes me the maternal figure of the Zodiac.
Mm.
Ungrateful little brats. I feel like there've been a lot of fragrance in the media lately.
Yeah, the girls are chatting.
Yes, but in terms of industry news, in terms of how the fragrance industry, I guess April was Earth Month, so everyone's just dissecting every industry and how they're destroying the earth.
Yeah.
And they're like, did you know that fragrance is destroying the earth because glass bottles are heavy to ship? Mm-hmm. And also all of the ingredients are being over harvested.
And literally nothing is getting recycled.
And yes, mostly that. Nothing is getting recycled. Even if it says it's able to recycle, that doesn't
mean it
does.
And if you're recycling it, it's still going into a...
Yeah.
Hashtag we're fucked.
Kind of. I think it was in Business of Fashion, a story about how there's so many fragrance brands coming out that are like, we're clean, we're sustainable. And then everyone's like, hold up, what does it actually mean?
It doesn't fucking mean anything.
Or, rather, there's lots of new fragrance brands and existing ones that really press that they use all natural ingredients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, big fragrance is like, well, natural ingredients are great, but they're not super sustainable for the environment. And there's so much more stuff that goes into distilling the oils.
Yeah.
As opposed to if you make a synthetic, you don't need to use as much of the natural ingredient. Yet there's this stigma about synthetics being bad.
We're
not about it.
I mean, sustainability is such a bigger topic than like one podcast intro can manage to cover, of course. But I think brands come at it from, you know, clean beauty is such a huge thing right now. And we all know how I feel about that. It's fake. But, you know, sustainability is also becoming more and more of a talking point. And it should, because we should all, you know, be doing what we can. But also, I think like the onus needs to be less on the consumer and more realistically on the corporations that are like making these products, because it's like one person can only do so much. And yes, of course, like we can all pitch in, but it's like, stop, like y'all have all this money and innovation, make disposable packaging.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we all know that none of this is actually going where it needs to go in terms of like recycling. And anyways, I think what I'm trying to say is like, a lot of us, myself included, for a really long time thought like, this is recyclable. So like when I recycle it, I've done my part. Sure, there's that's good logic.
Yeah.
But it's like when we talk about sustainability, like you just said, the production process and the the shipping process, mm-hmm. the freight, the oil, all of these things, like that is all part of the bigger sustainability picture. Mm-hmm. And I have so much more to learn about that. I think we all do. But I think it would be helpful if there was more education on reframing the conversation from like, this is recyclable, hooray. Mm. Because I used to think that was enough. And now it's like, yeah. Oh, fuck, like this is...
They're not actually getting processed.
No, and it's such a slippery slope of like capitalism and you have to live and be clean and like you have to buy some things. I'm sorry, but you do. Also, like buying things is like super fun. But I don't know, man. And it's like I try to not get into a doom spiral about it, but
yeah, mostly like for me, the thing about natural versus synthetic at a certain point.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go on a tailspin there.
No, that's totally related. Of course, everyone like, you know, natural is good. Yay, hooray. We love to use the things that Earth makes. Great. But also the human nose doesn't fucking know the difference between like a distilled rose petal from a rose petal versus a synthetic that mimics exactly what that smells like. So part of me is like, calm your tits.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not going to hurt you. Like, just chill. Leave the roses alone.
Leave the roses alone. And like, I think also... with the clean beauty movement, which is full of lies and ghouls, that we were made to think that synthetics are harmful and bad for your body.
Yeah.
And it's fucking not. Like, shut up.
Yeah, that goes a lot for skincare too, but this is not a skincare podcast.
It's absolutely not a skincare podcast.
You know what's funny? I have a lot of empties in terms of beauty products, just because as a beauty writer, I just have so many fucking products.
Right. Well, at least you're going through them.
Yeah. I am now that like I'm actually using them all up.
Same.
But I collect them all and then I have like a little dedicated bin for beauty empties. And then when that's full, I'll bring them to the Credo store in my neighborhood because they accept empties and they partner with TerraCycle. So you can actually recycle them where they actually get recycled.
Oh.
Because a lot of times if you just throw them in regular recycling, like the commercial recycling plants don't take them. They just put them in the trash because they can't process them.
Hmm.
Those little triangle symbols with the numbers mean absolutely fuck all.
Huh.
It's like literally big plastic being like, if we tell them how to sort them, the consumer will feel more reassured that they're getting recycled. But the truth is that they're not.
I didn't know that. I'm going to start bringing my empties to Credo as well.
Yeah. What's but the last time I went to Credo, whoever was working there was just like, we only take a limit of 12 items. And I was like, why? And she's like, well, because a lot of people are bringing their stuff in. And I'm like, isn't that the fucking point?
Right.
I kind of gave her an attitude. Oops, sorry. But I was like, this makes no fucking sense. Well, I didn't say that to her. That was really rude. But I was like, isn't that the point? That's why you're here as a fucking resource. And she's like, well, it's just that a lot of people are bringing in a lot of empties and we have to pay for this service. Again, is this not the point?
That's so wild.
I don't know. I guess maybe they're just running out of room. But Credo, speaking of clean beauty and how they like to be super smug
the
about
standard,
it.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you are going to purport yourself as a place where all beauty products can be recycled, or beauty product containers, rather, then fucking recycle them.
Do it.
I'm sorry. I remember I looked into TerraCycle and getting one of the boxes for myself.
Yeah.
They are actually very expensive on an individual level.
But
so
you're
like,
not a brand. Who cares?
Exactly. I'm like, yo, y'all are a brand.
Yeah.
Y'all can afford this and this is part of your MO. So just take my stupid ass serum bottles.
And you can't tell me that like doing that would not be some sort of like write off for a brand. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We should have someone from Credo on to talk about like the...
No, Credo's banned.
Well, Credo's canceled. That's fine. I love canceling anyone.
Anyway. It's my rant about that.
Hey, we love a rant on this show and it's usually me. So feel free. You have the floor.
Okay. Anyway, Tynan. What do you smell like today? I love when you start with a groan.
No, it's a good, like the more disgusted I sound, the happier I am. Do you know what I mean? So there is this brand. Oh, this brand is not even called what I thought it was called. There is this brand called, well, I don't actually know what they're called now. I thought they were called Rebel.
Oh, wait. I get their Instagram targeted ads all the time.
Yeah. So this is what the bottle looks like. So it says Rebel, but on the...
Rebel? Or is it Rebel?
On their site, it's Bell Rebel.
Rebel.
Wait. yeah,
so rebel, rebel.
We're gonna
rebel.
Go with rebel. So we've been like orbiting each other on Instagram for a minute. We've been following each other, and then like last week they slipped in to my Instagram and like liked a bunch of shit, and I'm like, okay,
it's so weird when brands do that.
If you're doing that, you're either you're trying to get noticed. Mm-hmm. You're either gonna send me something, yeah, or you're trying to have sex with me. And I can't fuck a fragrance brand. I've tried. So I hit him up and I was like, can you send me some stuff? And they're overseas, so I was like, this is usually a wash when they're a UK brand. It's not easy to ship fragrances. And they did. I am wearing Rebel Bubblegum.
Oh, that sounds so up your alley.
It is so up my alley, yeah. And it's so good. Like, I'm just like, I'm so happy because it's, I'm like, ooh, there's a lot of ways this could go wrong. And it didn't. And remember our very first episode of Smell You Later, we talked about how bubblegum is actually an accord because it's made of like all these spices and these weird fruit notes and banana. Mm-hmm. And that's what the fragrance is as well. And it's perfect. It's a perfect sort of amalgamation of the actual things that bubblegum is made up of in the fragrance. I think I was missing something.
Is it like kind of like a literal translation of
completely.
It?
Completely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It smells like you rubbed your body in bubblegum.
Completely. in that same way, it's not super sweet. You know what I mean?
It isn't.
It's sweet, but it's not cloying. Anyway, sometimes I like to name the notes. Sometimes I don't. This time I do because, like I said, it is a literal interpretation of bubblegum in the perfect way because they just used what bubblegum is made out of. So top notes, you have fruits and clove. The heart is bubblegum and orange oil. And the base is cashmere, patchouli oil, and vanilla. And dude, I mean, it's just like smells like bubblegum in the best way. It smells like all of like the truest version of all of the notes that it is made up of. It's, I don't know, it's like you can break it down and you can smell the clove and you can smell the orange and the fruit, but you can also just smell bubblegum. It's the best of both worlds. I wonder if I didn't preempt you of what it was, what you would smell.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
It does smell like sugary candy, but in a softer, in a like a chewier way, not in like a bright, tart, Jolly Rancher way, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I might have said marshmallow, perhaps.
Okay.
Like a flavored marshmallow?
Yeah.
That's the vibe?
But there's more like depth. Like there's no... They don't call out banana specifically, but it's... sorry, just hit my mic. It's a little like... I get the clove, I get the banana, and that like... admittedly doesn't smell like, I don't love to think about smelling like banana, but I don't know, it's just great. And
it's
the bottle is this, like this gorgeous matte pink.
The bottle looks kind of like the Glossier You bottle to me.
Okay, no, god damn it, now it's ruined.
Wait,
no,
did you not see that?
No, I just saw a big pink bottle that said bubblegum. I was distracted.
I was distracted.
No, I guess you're not totally wrong, but I think it's prettier than Glossier You just because it's like all pink.
I do like how it's monochromatic and matte. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool.
They also just released a new scent on 420, and it's a weed scent. They also sent that to me. Actually, they sent me a full bottle of the one I'm about to tell you about, and then a bunch of testers, and I can't wait to work my way through them. I'm just going to run you through the weed one real quick because it sounds really delicious and also just like me. Cannabis-infused cotton candy.
Oh.
A compelling combination of smoke, spice, and syrup.
I like that.
I know. I can't wait to do that.
Yeah.
So I am very excited. Thank you, Rebel, Rebel, Bell Rebel, whatever the hell your name
Rebel.
Is. Feel free to confirm.
feel free to confirm.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it. So, Sable, what do you smell like today?
In honor of our guest this episode, I broke out my Acro Discovery set once more.
All right.
Revisited Awake, which is their scent based around coffee.
Yes.
And I think I just really fucking needed the caffeine today because, again, I'm like, I woke up really fucking angry because literally since the crack of dawn, it's just noises everywhere. The dog that lives above me was just like throwing a shoe at the ground, aka my ceiling. I don't know how to, just a little clicky clack of the nails. And I'm just like, cut your fucking nails, dog. Stop walking around. Go to sleep. It's like 7 in the morning.
When I got here, I was like, oh my God, Sable, I love your eyeshadow. And she was like, I'm not wearing any. I'm just really tired. And I was like, okay.
I know. I'm glad that at least comes off like aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad for that. Oh, yeah. And then there was a motorcycle brigade, like, literally outside my window at 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. So, after that point, I was like, I guess I'll wake up now since the world demands it.
Rise and shine.
Yeah. And then I was just like, I'm so tired. I'm so annoyed. I need coffee. So, I threw a pot of coffee on the stove, broke out awake. And it's just... As soon as I smelled it on my wrists, I just smiled because it's such, like, it's such a warm, it doesn't smell like straight up coffee, but it has obviously like a big, big coffee reference in it, but it has this warmth that kind of just envelops you. It's like a hug and it's just, ugh.
You're so right. I love a coffee note and I think that's so under, it's like so obvious and underused in fragrance. I don't know why.
Yeah. But this one, it's like, it's almost like edible smelling. And it is a gourmand, of course. So obviously it would be edible smelling, but like.
Oh, it's so goddamn good. It's so good.
It's like coffee, you know, and warmth. Me. It's like drinking a fresh coffee in like a sunbeam. Mm. Like as you're just like kind of laying in bed, lounging.
That in a really good way reminds me of Killian Intoxicated that it had the emotional meltdown about last episode.
Yes.
Fucking good.
What is that? Like, what is that? I know, coffee. It's like, it's not just like a singular note. It's almost like this collection of notes.
Sure. Oh God, it's so good.
Yeah. Like I was talking about this with a couple of people in my DMs. I smelled Baccarat Rouge for the first time recently. And I was like, oh shit, Tynan was right. This does smell like cloud. Mm-hmm. And it does also smell like Bond number 9, Tribeca. And I was like, what is that note that connects them all? And it's not a singular note. Yeah. It's somebody called it ambroxan, which is like an amber accord.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm like, it kind of smells like an airport terminal.
Are we talking about cloud and Baccarat?
Yeah,
totally.
It smells God. You know that little tunnel that connects the airport to the plane that you walk through? It smells like the air in that.
It smells like, I think it smells like charged air, like electricity
yes.
in the
yes,
air.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I do see how that is like recycled air too.
Yes.
For sure.
I guess it's like ozonic. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that ozonic quality. And I was surprised that that was in Baccarat Rouge. I wasn't expecting that, but I don't know why, like, I just expected to smell like a totally different perfume based on its popularity, but
yeah, completely.
That ambroxan accord or whatever that charged air smell is, I'm like, this is the thing that everyone's gravitating towards. Uh-huh. And I get a tiny, tiny hint of that in Awake.
Do you?
A teeny, tiny hint of it. At first. Actually, I get it at first, and then when it kind of simmers down on my skin, it goes away. And then that's when I think it really shines. Give it 10 minutes and then you're like, oh shit, this just got even better.
It's like so good.
A charged quality to it. It's almost like you smell it and like, oh shit, there's my caffeine jolt.
Yeah.
I'm just like smelling my wrist now like a fucking fiend.
So we're not going to get right into the interview because we want to give you guys a rundown of Acro and what they're about. Acro is a newish brand of fragrance. There are 6 fragrances within the collection and they're all based off of vices. And the 6 vices are alcohol, cigarettes, weed, sex. Coffee, sex, and
chocolate.
And Sable and I got into these sort of at the same time. She got me into them and I posted about the fragrance and the concept on my story. And a good couple of people jumped in with the fair critique of like, oh, well, these aren't all vices, or like what constitutes a vice? Isn't a vice. Like,
yeah, chocolate isn't a vice. And I'm like, okay, like
number one,
addiction.
We didn't come up with the concept. Yeah. So like, leave me alone.
But I think they could be interchangeable, but I believe.
I think vices and addiction are two different things though.
Completely. Yeah. But I do think there's an overlap. And obviously we're interpreting it one way, but the creators... They never refer to it as vices. They refer to it as addiction.
Addiction, yeah.
And then to me also, I'm like, oh, is it problematic maybe to glamorize addiction?
I got a little touchy with their use of addiction too. But I do think it's just like vices and
yeah, that's why I was like, okay, it's like that overlap between vice and addiction. Also, I think that because they're European, like Europeans view addiction in a completely different way than we do.
Yeah, I think there was the connotation there was a little bit different.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But I am so excited to talk to the brand today because
we've been like trying to get them on the show for a while. I think it was a little tricky because they're in Europe, they're in France. Yeah. So with the time difference, it, you know, we just had to wait for a time we were both available.
And we're working hard for you girls. But I'm not saying this because they're on the show, but honestly, this collection is so goddamn good.
It's so good.
It is so good. Yeah. I really love all six of them.
Yeah.
Truly mm-hmm. down. They're all exact. They all hit me exactly where I want a fragrance to. And they're not all gourmand, but they are all like enveloping. And they're not even all warm. They're just lush and really like, I hate this word, but like decadent. And oh, they're gorgeous. I kept being like, okay, this is the one I'm not gonna like, or this is the one that repels me. And truly, I mean, all six are just, they're so different but so good. I don't know.
Yeah, man. I think because it hits like a literal translation but in like an aesthetic way.
Totally. It's like a perfect balance.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not like a lot of perfumes that are just like, this will get you laid. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, that's very subjective, sir. This is like smoke, smells like cigarette smoke. But it's not just the smell of cigarette smoke, because, you know, that's kind of gross to a lot of people, myself mm-hmm. included. But the context of the smoke, where you're in a jazz club late at night, or like you're at a nightclub and you step outside to have a smoke in the coat check or something like that. So it's not just the addiction subject, it's also the context and the experience surrounding it.
That's such a good way to put it. No, totally. So if we so I've been thinking a lot about vices this week, just because I knew this was coming up.
Yeah.
If you had to say that you have if you had to pick something in your life that was a vice, mm-hmm. that's a tricky question for me, because like I don't believe in like guilty pleasures and like yada yada. Mm-hmm. But if you had to say that you have a vice, what would it be?
I was going to say men, but then I was like, no.
Men aren't vices. They're just problems.
I'm going to edit that out.
No.
Mostly because it's like not even true. Yeah. I'm like, there are like no men.
It's like annoyances.
It's nobody. No one. procrastination.
Oh.
That's my vice.
Oh.
Yeah. Big procrastinator.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shit.
That's why. I was like, that's why the people who email me have to do it twice.
What would procrastination smell like?
I know. That's the thing. It's like, how do you make a scent out of that? God. I don't even know where to start with that. That's so... I was going to say it would smell almost like bed linens, like warm slept in bed linens. Like not fresh ones, like slept in ones.
I would say that... Yeah, I would completely agree. Yeah. That's so good. But I would say almost like dusty, because procrastination is something that you indulge in but don't really enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, like you might enjoy what you're doing to procrastinate, but the idea of it is like, fuck, this is going to come back to bite.
Almost like that when the heater comes on for the first time in the winter and it kind of like roasts the dust on the radiators, that smell.
I can't believe how good our podcast is.
Like, somebody make this dusty ass scent. that is actually probably my number one advice is like poor time management.
Yeah, totally.
Poor time. It would just smell like watch parts, broken watch parts.
That's so real.
God, what would yours be?
Your answer was so good. I mean, mine's a little bit more expected, but I don't know. I would probably, not to like get into it, but I'd probably say alcohol.
Really?
Yeah.
You do not strike me as a lush at all.
I'm not anymore.
Like, you don't even really talk about drinking.
I know, because it's not cute, you know?
I don't know. Some people enjoy talking about it.
Yeah, okay, fair. I don't know. I thought
you were going to be like credit card debt.
Oh my God, right? No, it's just like, I just feel like I'm always like negotiating my relationship with it.
And
balancing it.
Legit.
And I don't even drink that much anymore. You know, it's like I've bartended for 8 years of my life.
Yeah.
And it was like,
that's pretty big.
I was always in a bar. You know what I mean? And when on my nights off, I was still in a bar, because like that's what you do when you live in Madison and you're gay. And I know that's like a dumbass thing to say, but like it was just my life. Sorry.
It's a social meeting place.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like I was always drinking, but I wasn't ever drunk. And my friends are going to hear that and be like, but I guess like I drank more than I was drunk. You know what I mean?
It was
such a huge part of my life, yeah. And whether I wanted it to be or not. And now,
well, it's a huge social thing.
You're right.
Like, taverns have been around since literally the beginning of time.
Right.
So,
and it's like, now it's like, I'll go out and I'll have like a really nice, perfect night and it's great. But then it's like, if I overdo it, it's like, what the fuck am I doing? And like, what does overdoing it even mean anymore? And like, I'll just have that guilt of like, yeah, wow, I drank too much. But yeah, I don't know. It's like, you know, my body handles it differently now. And it like, I'm like, do I even like this? You know, like, but then it's like, but I do love alcohol. You know what I mean? So yeah. It is something that I'm like, God damn it, I wish I could figure this out. And you're right. Like, I think there's just like, so I've built it up in my head to have like so much fucking stigma for no reason, because I've got a pretty good hold on my relationship with it. But I'm just such a fucking control freak to a fault, especially lately.
Maybe that's why you drink, to loosen up.
I don't know. And I don't even have an answer to why that is. And I think that's my answer, because
that's fine.
You know,
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm not one of them, but you know. Yeah. I don't think I've ever had a really addictive personality about anything.
Yeah.
I could honestly take or leave anything in my life. And sure, like, I'll go through periods where I'm craving something, but they're usually quite brief. They're never sustained and it's never the same thing. So I don't know. I can still relate to the feeling of addiction because of those times when I'm like, some days if I really, really want sugar, I will not rest until I have it.
Yeah.
And it's like that manic feeling that I'm like, oh shit, people feel this way like way more often on a sustained basis. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. I don't have an addictive personality either. And I haven't really dabbled in anything to get addicted to, thank God. I mean, like we've talked about this. Yeah. Like, I don't even really smoke weed. Every time I do, it's like, I'm just like, why did I fucking do this?
That's the thing. Like, I'm like, show me a drug that's actually enjoyable and then we'll talk.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like, so yeah, it's like, I just don't have the, I don't know, man.
Wait, so what would your alcohol addiction fragrance smell like? There's so many to choose from.
You're right.
I feel like for you it would almost be like a cordial or like a brown liquor kind of.
That would definitely be a whiskey. But would it smell like the alcohol or would it smell like the feeling? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it would be something really prickly and staticky, because it's always like, what am I doing? You know what I mean?
A like, little bit of danger.
Do I want that last drink? Do I want the first one? Like, you know, I don't know, man. Something, you know what it would smell like? It would smell like, it would be sort of approaching smelling like Supernova by Persons of Interest, in that it's really enjoyable, but it's tingly. You know?
Yeah.
For the record, I really like Supernova. And my,
I think you talked about it on a previous episode.
I think I did too. But my vice fragrance would be a little unsettling.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's like alcohol with like
gunpowder.
Yeah. I was going to say like something else that's like sets the stage for a murder.
Yeah, totally.
A mystery. Ooh, I like that idea.
Me too.
It's way better than Dusty Radio.
No, it's not. That's such a fucking good one too. Ugh.
I would love to see such an idea as a Dusty Reader interpreted via fragrance.
Totally.
Like, I think that'd be interesting.
I feel like Home Day would do it.
Yeah.
You know?
I also feel like our guest would be the dude to, I feel like he's a dude who you could just give him any random prompt for a fragrance and he would just potion it up and completely. Then be like, holy shit,
yeah,
that's the one.
Totally.
Which is how we came to Acro.
You are so good with the segues.
So acclaimed perfumer Olivia Cresp has created Acro, which is a fragrance brand with his daughter Anaïs Cresp and her partner Jack. Oh, also, P.S. Olivier Cresp is like the godfather of perfumers.
Truly.
He's like the fucking Brad Pitt of perfumery, because he has made some of the most famously known and smelled and worn scents.
The scents.
Yes. And they will be our guests on the show today. So we'll let him brag about it on the episode. We've blabbed on quite enough. It's a family moment right now.
It's a family affair.
Yeah, so let's get to it.
So we have three founders, so Jack couldn't be here. So I will describe you if you want.
Okay.
But yeah, his part is obviously very important in Acro. But how we function is I'm in charge of the branding. My dad is in charge of the creation of the perfume, and Jack is in charge of more the business, the commercial aspect of Acro.
Yeah, in fact, we are working like a startup, you know, few people, but very, very active and very agile in order to succeed everywhere in the world. Jack and Anaïs, they created the concept, and I am the creator of the fragrances.
Right.
I spent almost all my life creating very famous worldwide fragrances for some customers. But what is exciting here, it's starting our journey with Acro, with the 6 fragrances, and to expand them all over the world.
We are well acquainted with your world famous fragrances, Olivier.
Thank you. Olivier, do you just want to give the listeners a little bit of background on the fragrances that you have done prior to Acro?
I can start with some famous one. One of the most famous one, which is actually doing very well in the States, it's Angel. From Thierry Mugler, Angel for a Woman, of course, the Eau de Parfum, which is amazing, but also interesting because I opened a new family, the Gourmand family, the Edible family. It was 30 years ago. So this one is a number 5-7 in the States. Actually also Light Blue, the Woman, from Dolce Gabbana. It's very, very sparkling, very fresh, you know, with some nice woods. Mm-hmm. And it's number 2, number 3 worldwide in the world.
Wow.
I created also Black Opium YSL and Mont Paris YSL, you see.
Wow.
Yeah, they are doing extremely well everywhere, also in the world. Versace Man Eau Fraîche is number 10 or number 9 on the American market. It's really well appreciated by men, but for sure some women are wearing it because it's amazing the sales we are doing on that one as well. And on the European market, fragrances such as Nina from Nina Ricci, Kenzo, I was a good friend of Mr. Kenzo who passed away recently. I created with him some nice fragrances, Lopar Kenzo for man and for woman. Lacoste for women is also doing extremely well in Europe and Germany. A Black Excess from Paco Rabanne, you know, and I can name others. You see, I think it's more than 207 fragrances if you go to Fragantica, but some are successful, some others are big flops as well. You see.
Wow, that is quite the catalog.
Incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, but I have to say also that I took lots of pleasure with Anaïs, Jack, to work on the 6 fragrances that we achieved. You know, it was 2.5 years ago. I mean, these 6 fragrances are amazing because they are not following the market. I mean, we don't mind about the market. The market is already loaded with too many things. Usually, I start from a blank page, from scratch, and we will explain you with Anaïs. We created these fragrances, these amazing fragrances, because they are so different. They are maybe a bit polarizing, but in order to be seen, you have to be different. And our ambition is to surf above the wave, you know, on the top of the waves. And in order to do that, you have to be totally different from the market. I don't want to come up on the market with Orange Blossom, with a new sandalwood name. I don't want to name it. but I don't want to create, you know, some nice...
Right. Elegant, some like pleasant, bland fragrance.
Flowers, you see.
Right.
No. We have our strong identity. We are disruptive. We want to risk. We want to dare, and we come up on the market with totally something new. I mean, in order to please the ones which love our fragrances and they become addicted to our fragrances, do not.
Sure.
Yeah, we love fragrances that surround a concept.
Yeah.
And the fact that you launched the entire brand, Acro, around a concept, that was super interesting to us. How did you come up with that?
It all started when I was living in London. So I lived in London for a few years and I met Jack, so my partner, and he's from London, he's a Londoner.
Mm-hmm.
And he just showed me around, he just bring me into the best like warehouse party. He showed me the real London, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And we just experimented like new things. We used to go in this chocolate factory, it was called Side in Seoul. I used to bring my dad when he was coming to see me for a weekend. I used to spend like a day or half day with him.
Yes.
Just laying there and enjoy a lot of chocolate. it's really a small factory, small shop, but it's just fantastic.
But what is interesting, it's not only the smell, you know, and the taste. It's also the atmosphere, yeah. The people which are coming, you see, they are enjoying life and they are leaving their stress outside the factory, and they get inside and they are talking nicely, enjoying life, breathing, correctly. And of course, enjoying that nice quality of chocolate, for example. Mm. Yeah.
So that's why we created like a dark with the dark chocolate addiction. It comes from basically this, our six fragrances come from six experiences that we had with Jack, and we translated them with to Olivier, to my dad.
Yes.
And I was just calling my dad and telling him about how amazing the life was in London. And so my dad was like, yeah, let's make something, let's create this concept. And so Acro were born, mm-hmm. and we created the Acro concept about addiction.
In fact, Anaïs, I remember her call. Yeah, I was in Paris in my lab, and she called me from London, and she said, Dad, I have a huge new concept, you know. It's amazing because no one else has done it so far, but mm-hmm. we have to take it quickly because otherwise someone else will get the idea, of course.
Right.
And she said to me, are you capable to reproduce some addictions? You see? And I said, Anaïs, of course I'm capable to do that because my perfumery is based on, figurative style, you see. Mm-hmm. I can just reproduce exactly the smell of something, you know, and this is why it's figurative. It's not abstract, it's existing, you see. And then I'm trying to be as close as possible to the smell. If we take, for example, the chocolate, the dark chocolate, so I'm trying to be as close as possible of the smell of the chocolate powder. And then I translate it with my style, which is minimalist, simple. I'm using some really good products, good natural ingredients, sustainable, by the way. And that makes the difference because suddenly I translate the basic idea to something wearable, long-lasting, diffusive, with lots of sillage. And hopefully with lots of compliments. You see how it works?
Yes.
It's interesting to me that you describe your style as minimalist because yes. I sort of find the collection as anything. But like you said, there is a lot of sillage and I find the fragrances are all very bold. And
yes.
I mean, I am obsessed with all of that.
Same.
But can you sort of expand upon how you said that you know, you take a minimalist approach to yes. creating fragrances that are sort of bigger and more bold.
Yeah. But it's not only the fragrances which are minimalist, but it's also the style of the pack, the names also. Mm. Anaïs found right. Together with Jack. You know, there you have some. Maybe you can develop Anaïs a little bit.
No, we wanted to build a brand whose speak by itself, if I can say. We've got like, yeah, the packaging, everything around like the bottle, the lid, everything is minimalist. And so are the perfumes, the fragrances.
And the names, you see, it's not like dark chocolate. It's dark, you see. You go straight to the next fragrance. Maybe we're going to talk a little bit of the seventh opus, but it's also short names like my perfumery with short formulas, mm-hmm. With a few lines. You see, mm-hmm. I'm working with 20 ingredients, 25, like I did for Angel, like I did for Light Blue, because it's my style, you see, it's my signature. I want the people to be capable to recognize each facets, you see. I don't want to make the things too complicated, but sure. I tell you, it's complicated to make something simple.
Oh, I totally believe that.
Yeah, I'm too. And the thing is, immediately when Anaïs, I remember our call, Anaïs, and she said to me, okay, Dad, you are capable to make some addictions, and we wrote down some possible addictions, you see, like cannabis, like cigarette, like coffee. Mm-hmm. Like chocolate, like alcohol, and sex or love, whatever. But I said, and it was honest from my side to say that, you know, you have some special addictions like gambling.
Right.
You enter into the casinos. I mean, mm-hmm. there is a special smell, but it's hardly impossible to match it. You see, addictions to bank note, you know, it's not possible as well, you know. Addiction to work, it's impossible as well. But there are some other addictions that we are investigating for the next years, and such as the new opus is based on a total new addiction. And the thing is very interesting, you know, because as soon as I created, for example, Haze, you know, the cannabis, of course, I went to Jack, I went to Anaïs, and Jack was appreciating, I would say, not in his childhood, but he was appreciating cannabis a lot. And he said, it's amazing because when I smell your fragrance, your creation, you are so close to cannabis without using CBD, for example, but you are so close to cannabis, and my eyes are tearing, you know, and when he was smoking cannabis, suddenly his eyes were tearing, you see, and here, only by smelling, only by wearing the fragrance, you can imagine how close we were, you see, because immediately without thinking to that specific memory, he said, yes, my eyes were tearing. And the thing is, I was showing around also to a group of, let's say, 10 people. When I was dipping my blotters, I was showing around, for example, smoke, and they were saying, wow, it smells cigars or it smells cigarette. If someone would have said it smells jasmine or rose, so then I knew I was on the wrong track, you see. Mm-hmm. So when you are addicted to something, it has to be shared by anybody in the world. That's we are talking about addictions, you know, shared by millions of people.
Right. So like universal addictions.
Yes, universal addictions. You know? Otherwise it's less interesting, you see. Mm,
right. Well, I was wondering if there was a long list of addictions that maybe didn't make the cut.
The thing is, so far we've done some possible addictions, but we still have so many to work. You know, you can be addicted to sugar, for example.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You can be addicted one day to another drink. We wanted to be addicted to whiskey, you know, but you can be addicted to gin. You can be addicted to champagne. You can be addicted to tea, you know, a white tea, a black tea. Or you can have as well, and this is very interesting as well, some specific local addictions shared not by the by the world, by specific regions. For example, in South America, you have the tea, the mate leaves, you see. Mm-hmm. Imagine some mate for the world. Imagine some matcha used in some drinks, in some food in Asia, suddenly everywhere, in Europe, North America.
Right.
It's going to be well appreciated. So that's why local addictions could become huge success for the next future.
That's really interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Can you tell us how you decided on the direction for each addiction? I feel like there are so many ways you could have interpreted sex, for instance. Yeah. And night is such a specific, I think a very specific type of sense.
In fact, we classified the six fragrances in the three clusters. You have two aromatics, which are haze and smoke, two gourmand edible, which are awake and dark, and two florals, which are malt and night. Mm. And in fact, Anaïs and Jack, they created their concept as she said a while ago in London, and she explained me, and I translated with their words. I tried to, you know, from their words to find some right ingredients to create to reproduce, in fact, their sensation.
Yeah, the experience behind fragrance.
So for example, cannabis, if you combine some warm wood with artemisia, with a sweat smell like eucalyptus buds, and with some mint, you know, and clary sage, you will get the cannabis sensation.
So interesting.
That's wild.
You see, and the thing is, the ingredients are legal. You know, you can use the fragrances without any restrictions.
That's funny.
You don't go to jail. I mean, you won't have any headache afterwards.
Right. No hangover.
No hangovers.
Yeah.
When you guys were approaching the launch of the brand, were you nervous about how you would be received by the public and your consumer with your Vice concept?
What we really wanted is to create a different concept. And we wanted to create the buzz, really. And during the launch, it was well appreciated. And we got the wow effect.
Sure.
It was cool.
Yeah. And the thing is, as we said previously, the challenge was to be totally different in our concept approach, in the creations of the juices. Otherwise, 5 years ago, you had, let's say, like 500 new niche brands coming on the market. Last year, apparently, it was like 1,700. So among massive names, ideas, and so on, of course, we have to be totally different, and we have to take risk. We have to dare. We have to be. We don't want to please, let's say, millions of people. Mm-hmm. We want to please the happy few. But the happy few are enough. You know, we are not looking after, let's say, 20,000 stores in the States. You see, but really well, precious stores, niche stores, where the people are really connoisseur. They know exactly. They have tested other fragrances, and they see the difference immediately.
I feel like the reputation of the fragrance industry for the longest time, especially with commercial fragrance, is this like hyper sexuality, this hyper exaggerated kind of boldness yeah. that when you smell the scent, does it just rarely ever correlates. But I do feel like a lot of that has to do with the marketing and not the scent itself.
Yeah, right. true.
And Acro is one of the first perfume brands that I feel like actually, you know, delivers what it promises.
Yes, that's right. Because immediately when you smell the fragrances, immediately you see the film.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you can... you smell it. We have followers from all over the world, and some of them, they are writing stories. You know, they smell. They keep writing chapters. You see, writing a story, a book, even. You know, a true story, because it's their lives. You see, it's their memories. In fact,
right.
Because the cannabis, Anaïs, she's explaining. The cannabis she was smelling around London, you know, in the morning, at night, and mm-hmm. so. But you know, when I go to New York and when I walk in the street, the streets early in the morning or late at night, you see, or around the night, so it's the same smell.
Yeah.
It's a different memory, but it's the same smell. It's really nice to mix these ideas, and it's fresh air for me. To you know, to work on these briefings, which are rare, because usually I have to work for fragrances pleasing the North American consumers, the
right.
European, the Chinese, the Mexican, the South African. I mean, today we have to make some bold fragrances to please everybody.
Mm.
Here we are free. And we assume our freedom.
Hmm.
Do you find that when you create fragrances for different markets, that different regions of the world have different preferences? For instance, if you were trying to recreate Acro to appeal to an Asian audience or a South American audience, like, do you find that there are like huge differences in what they would be drawn to?
Well, in fact, it's a good question. But in fact, I'm studying their style, their know-how, their taste, you see, in South America or in Asia, such as China. And that gives me even some inspiration for any new fragrances. But the thing is, as soon as your fragrance becomes a hero fragrance or a nugget, suddenly everybody in the world is going to like it.
Right. Right.
If you take the Coca-Cola, it's another story. But if you take the drink, the beverage, Coca-Cola, mm-hmm. It was made at the beginning only for North America, but it's amazing to see the success of Coca-Cola in Asia, and it's not really in their roots, in their know-how.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But as it's a strong tendency, a stronger demand, everybody, even it starts from the young generation, you know, as soon as they are educated with those drinks, those fragrances, they like them and they love them and they become addict. For me, Coca, the Coke, mm-hmm. as soon as I drink, usually I don't drink any Coca-Cola, but when I start drinking one glass, the day after, I'm drinking one bottle of Coca-Cola.
Right.
See? So it's and then it becomes dangerous for my health, you see, because destroying my stomach, you know. But I mean, what we achieved, it's genius, because you like, you love the fragrances, you use them, and it's totally safe. It's totally legal, and they give you some pleasure, you see, some joy, some...
It's funny, without fail, one thing always comes up on every episode that we do, and it's sense relation to memory. And you already touched on that a few questions ago, but I just think it's really interesting that our memory and our personal experience with each of these vices, whatever they may be, informs the way that we interpret the scent and how we feel about it. Not only like how we feel about the smell, but also the concept and everything. And that, I mean, these fragrances mean something different to me than Sable. And I just think that's like a really interesting take, because it could be a huge risk when you're trying to, you know, sell a product. Mm. But I think how you guys have done it is very interesting, because each of the scents does have like such a strong, clear perspective.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Because they are simply built, you see. They go straight to the point. They are not complicated. You don't have to look for. It comes naturally to you, you see.
Right. And it's a seduction that a lot of people have as well. Like, we are like all addicted to coffee. I mean, most of us.
I am.
Yeah, if you know what I mean.
Totally.
We don't all smoke cannabis, but I think we love the smell. I'm not a smoker, but I love the smell of the cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Same.
So, I'm the same way. Yes. Yeah. Doesn't agree with me, but I love the way it smells.
Very same.
I used to work on sugar. For the time being, I'm not satisfied, but because sugar is quite difficult, you know, because if we go back to the blotter I'm dipping, I'm spraying, and if I show it around, the 10 people, they have to tell me, yes, it smells sugar. And it's frustrating, because so far I didn't achieve it. But I mean, we have already 2, 3, 4 new IDs in our pockets that I'm polishing, you know, for the coming years, because we don't want a big range. And mm-hmm. we don't want like the others, which have 30 fragrances. We want to stick with between 6 to 10 fragrances.
Yeah, we're taking our time on the next one, yeah.
Mm. You spoke before about just the huge, huge output of niche and artisanal fragrances these days, and how everybody is just creating so many fragrances. Mm. And I love that you take your time with each concept and then you present them as these fully formed collections, which I think makes it more exciting for people too. And I'm curious how you approach creating AcroScents differently than you would with, say, a brief for a big designer house, for instance.
We are studying also the market. Mm-hmm. And when I see people launching, let's say, suddenly a collection of 6 feminine fragrances, and mm. then 6 months after a collection of 6 masculine fragrances, you can be sure that the consumers are going to forget them. You see, they will be totally erased after months. You see, here it's a kind of luxury. We take our time. You see, we don't precipitate ourselves to launch new collections. It's not our style. We have lots of journalists calling Anaïs, Jack, and myself, saying, okay, well, we can't wait the next one. And after the next one, what there is, what else, you see? But I mean, no, we take our time, and we want to install our fragrances in the world, in some strategic countries. We are in North America, we are in Europe, we are in Russia, in Middle East. Mm. Soon we will be in China.
Oh, wow.
We are in Australia, and we want step by step, you see, we take our time. We want to build the brand for long. It will be hopefully for good. Huh?
Good.
Anaïs is smiling. She's
smiling. We want you guys to stick around.
World domination. Yeah. We respect that.
I think about it. Yeah, but it's true. I mean, it's not fake.
It's our baby, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's our style. And we know it's funny, because we have the sensation, the feeling that we are on the right track, you see? Mm-hmm. And someone gave us some advice one day, and he said to us, as soon as you get the right concept, a strong concept, everything will be well settled on your path, you see. And it's true. Strong concept, strong fragrances, everybody will come. And we had what, maybe 6 months, 1 year, where we didn't know where to go, but suddenly everyone is calling us, everyone wants us. And it's amazing. It's amazing, you know. And yeah, we want to stay like a startup, you know. We don't want to be too many people involved, because it's a craftsman, you see. It's authentic. It's us, you know.
Right. One last question for you guys, for both of you. Do either of you have a personal preference to a specific addiction that you would love to develop for Acro?
Ooh. New addiction?
Like something that's personal to you that you would love to develop as a fragrance.
Yeah, plenty. I mean, we definitely, like really our 6 fragrances are based on real experiences. So it's plenty of experiences that we had in London, but that we are going as well to develop maybe in some other countries. So it's going to be new memories and new fragrances to translate into it. Plenty.
Yeah, and also we are you know, crossing the worldwide crisis, the sanitary crisis, but that gives us some ideas, of course, you see, to launch something to protect us, you see, from the microbes, something, you know, it's around the concept of cleanness. I don't want to say too much about that.
Okay.
Release too many information, but imagine something a clean fragrance, you know. Clean is very, very well appreciated already in the States.
Yes.
The thing is that could become a tremendous trend as well, you know, for our portfolio. But we have, as Anaïs is saying, we are studying also in the regions some local local addictions, which can become worldwide addictions. And we have still plenty ideas. But the thing is, we want to stretch a little bit the range. I don't want to repeat myself. We don't want to be lost with 30 fragrances on shelves, because it's taking too much place. That's it. It's minimalism again, you know. It's a brand maybe with 10 fragrances and no more.
I respect that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, keep it tight.
Thank you guys so much.
This has been awesome.
Yeah, this has been such a great interview. We love the brand as soon as we receive the discovery sets.
Yeah.
And I mean, personally, when I smelled, I was like, oh, this is on to something.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Which one is your favorite?
Yeah.
Ooh, for me, it's a tie between Awake and Dark.
Yeah, that's such a hard one. I would probably say Awake as well. Or
we love Coffee Scents.
Yeah, we love Coffee Scents. There's truly not one I don't like. And honestly, I'm a gourmand guy through and through. And while I know that they're not all gourmand, they are. Yes. They just like hit that note for me that I really, I wore all 6 in 1 week. And it was great.
Well, what's funny is I am not a gourmand person, but Awake and Dark are so unique because they have such bite to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like a lot of gourmands, they're a bit fluffy, they're a bit soft or very powdery, but these actually have some teeth to it, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it's really interesting, you know.
And Awake is a bestseller.
Yeah, Awake is really well.
Surprise, yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
My favorite as well.
Yeah.
It's well appreciated.
Yeah, well, I mean, please keep us posted on what's
absolutely
next, because we are very interested in the next vice.
Yeah.
The next vice, yes. You will get it for sure.
Wait.
What?
Did Olivier shade Santal 33 in the beginning?
Shading Santal 33 on this podcast?
There was like a moment where he's like,
he said sandalwood, right?
He did say sandalwood, but I was like, immediately I was like,
oh, I got that.
He
too
was like, not like these other sandals. I was like, I know the ones, sir.
My fangs immediately came out. I was like, I'm
your
listening.
Hackles raised.
Well, he has a home on this podcast.
He does.
Olivia, come back anytime and
talk some shit about Le Labo Saint Authority.
Off the record.
Can't wait to get a cease and desist.
Oh, God. Oh, poor Frank.
Frank Vogel's fine.
He's fine. Still a big fan.
No, I'm just thinking.
Your
no,
face.
No, no, no. I know. I'm just thinking, like, would we even stand a chance on getting him on the show after all the things I've done? How, you can ask him.
You can ask him.
My psychotic and rude co-host has nothing to do with this.
I've interviewed him before.
You can just do it. You can just do the show, and then I'll record my parts of it, and then you like cut them in so it looks like I'm there.
It'll just be you being like,
like, yeah. Yeah, Frank.
I truly would love to be the Mrs. Whistledown newspaper of like all the perfumer shit talking gossip.
I know,
because I'm sure it's
hilarious.
There's
not many of them.
There's not many of them.
And they all know each other.
Exactly. They all probably receive a lot of the same briefs, and they're like, "Oh, they got that. The client went with them."
Yeah, totally.
And to that end, I'm sure there's so many interesting non-selected fragrances
for
briefs.
So much shit that we've never seen.
Like, imagine, like. Like, what if there was, like, five different iterations of Santal 33? Well, actually, there's 33 of them, aren't there?
I don't think that's it. I think the numbers are the notes.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the case.
Okay.
Imagine if I knew anything that I was talking about in this podcast. Truly anything. I think they're the notes. I'll circle back.
But still, imagine the dozens of iterations of YSL Black Opium, for instance. The things you could have smelled like.
Le Labo's also very protective of like all of their shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I tried to, oddly, about a year ago, do a huge piece on Santal 33 that I was genuinely really excited to do.
Yeah.
I hate the scent. It was going to be lit. And they were like, no, thanks. And I was like, okay.
Was it the outlet or was it?
It was the brand.
No. But like, do you think that they were rejecting the outlet or the story premise?
No, it was definitely not the outlet. No, it was like putting them on.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know, man. I mean, not that Santal 33 like needs my help, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, I feel like any brand, especially with their bestsellers, like they love talking about their bestsellers over and over, even though I'm like, are you sure you don't want to highlight these other things you do?
Yeah.
They're like, no, we just know where the bread and butter is.
Yeah, baby. I mean, they're not wrong.
Slather it on.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's so wild to hear Olivier talk about all the shit he's done.
I know.
Fuck. Angel, Light Blue. Are you kidding me? Success.
Yeah. Light Blue is, again, one of those ubiquitous fragrances.
Yeah.
And I never would have guessed that the creator of Angel also created Light Blue. Because they're so different. And he said, he's like, oh, I have a certain style or a signature in the way I create perfumes, which is like very minimalist. And I was like, really?
The hell?
I know. I was like, are you
Angel.
Sure? Yeah, I know. Angel is not
Angel
a minimalist.
Shit
scent.
On shit.
Yeah.
You know, in the best of ways. Yes. I love
no,
it,
no, no.
You
but
know?
You're right. It's just like a cornucopia of scents.
It's a hat on a hat.
A hat on a hat. It's a fedora on a bucket hat.
Well, and it's so cool to like. With the breadth of fragrances that he has done, how diverse they all are.
Oh, yeah.
To then come to
the
Acro
range.
And have Acro as a collection be so cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Not in the way that they all smell the same because they don't, but like there is like a through line, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely.
A red thread.
I could almost say like Awake and Dark are two of my favorites and they're the two gourmands. And I would almost say that there are hints of Angel in them.
Oh yeah. I would have never thought that until you just said it, but for sure.
But absolutely, as soon as I learned that he created, I was like, oh, of course, like, he did these,
right?
I absolutely smell the signature here.
Uh-huh. for sure.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just the way it's layered or if it's just similar notes.
I think
perhaps a combination of both.
Like coffee, I feel like chocolate and cacao for the sake of themselves are underused in scent. I know that cacao is like not unfound in scents, but it's usually like as a base or to complement something else, or there's very few scents that smell like chocolate, you know, and he throws it in to make it what it is, to smell like chocolate. I don't know, I just like that.
It's chocolate, but it's not like you smell like a Hershey bar. I feel like it's a very specific interpretation of chocolate, or chocolate mixed with these
it's
other
like smooth.
Things yeah these other things that give it such a specific texture.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great texture builder
totally.
with fragrances.
Yeah.
which again, I'm just like, really light blue, but
I mean, light blue for women is great. Light blue for men is triggering.
I don't know if I've smelled that one.
No, it's good. It's not as.
I honestly can't even remember the last time I smelled light blue. I think it was years ago when I was at Allure, but I do remember. I'm like, oh, so many people wear this scent.
Yeah, light blue's a fuck.
Yeah,
light blue's a fuckboy scent.
Oh, okay,
for sure.
Well, well, well.
We should do an episode. Never mind.
I'm like, Dolce's canceled.
Oh yeah, well, Dolce is for sure canceled. But we should do an episode on fuckboy scents.
We should.
Yeah.
Cancel them
with the omission of Dolce. Anyway.
Anyway.
I love this.
That was such a cool episode.
Such a banger of an episode.
Yeah. It's cute too that the father and daughter, they're making their own perfume. I know. That's so cute. I feel like you always hear about mother-daughter duos and never father-daughter duos. So
true. True.
It's cute.
Keep an eye on our Instagram because word on the street is that Acro is throwing our listeners a little promo.
A little promo.
I believe it might be US only.
Yes.
We're not talking about what it is just because we want to confirm it.
We will have details.
I'm not trying to gas anyone up, but looks like you're going to have a little discount on the discovery set of this collection that we all know and love. We're not getting any kickback for it. Don't worry about it. This is
don't worry. We're not getting literally anything for the free shit we do for you.
No, I'm just saying, like, we're not like getting paid to say this, whatever. No, but not. Hey, yeah. Acro, y'all can cut us a check if you want. So yeah, keep an eye on the Instagram. Answer our Tuesday question. Who knows what it'll be this week?
Yeah. If you are not familiar with this brand, you should absolutely get the discovery set at least and, you know, have a fucking day of it.
Go wild.
Go wild, man.
In the meantime.
In the meantime.
Follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3. Follow me at Tynan Buck.
And I'm at Sable Tooth Tigra.
Until next time.
Smell you later.
Smell you later.